Malibu Barbie go off the board.
Put together the Barbie pool party and make her whoosh down the slide. Jump in, sunbathe in the floating chair. Pretend she's throwing a party.
Hey, Barbie, I'm coming in too.
The new Barbie pool party. Malibu Barbie sold separately. From Mattel.
Hello, this is Robert Berry, and welcome to episode 18 of Retro Crush the Podcast. 18! We're no longer barely legal. We're now old enough for you to have a shot at us and escape all legal ramifications. So thanks for joining. Well, we've got a couple things in store for you here today that I think you'll like. I was able to attend an advanced screening of the new Jodie Foster film, Flight Plan, where she loses her daughter on an airplane. Now, normally this would make most parents very happy to not have to put up with their yammering kid for an international flight, but Jodie actually becomes concerned. I'm going to play the trailer for this film, and then we got a special review. So let's start out with the audio from the trailer from this for Flight Plan.
Did you happen to see a little girl go by here?
No. I'm looking for my daughter.
She's six, my daughter. I was carrying her.
She has sandy hair.
She's probably carrying a chenille bear. We can't find my daughter.
Does anybody remember seeing the girl?
No.
No, sir.
What aren't you telling me? What aren't you telling me?
I'm sorry, but I don't think that she's here.
What?
Ma'am, we don't have any record of your daughter ever having been on board.
I put her in the seat next to me 26th A.
26th A is unoccupied.
Her backpack's missing. Somebody has her.
Captain, I have to speak to you!
Get every passenger seated. Open every closet, every bin.
She's disturbed.
She's making the passengers anxious.
You've got to search the holds now!
Every one of my flight attendants are looking for a child that none of them believe was ever on board.
Who's she talking to?
We're not going to discuss this in the middle of the cabin.
Where's my daughter? Where is she? Where is she?
According to the director at the morgue, the daughter died 6 days ago.
What?
Our air marshal is going to escort you back to your seat.
You know she's alive. You know she's on this plane.
Why didn't anybody see her?
I don't know. My daughter is alive.
What'd you do to the light? What is she?
You're going to be arrested when we land.
Julia!
Well, I thought it'd be a great idea to do a movie review of this as I was driving home from the review with my little portable recorder. So if you'll forgive the some of the bad audio quality from this, I think this is a kind of a good listen to here. But anyway, here's my review of Flight Plan as I was driving home from the theater.
Hey there, this is Robert Berry, and welcome to Driving Home from the Movies with Retro Crush. I just attended a screening of Flight Plan starring Jodie Foster, and I'm driving home from it right now, so I'm talking about this while it's fresh in my head. Today's Tuesday, actually it's Monday, and the movie's coming out this Friday, theaters everywhere. I ultimately did not like this movie a whole lot. It was a really neat, kind of intriguing setup there, I'll admit. Jodie Foster's husband had died 6 days ago. Anyway, her husband dies and her daughter get on an airplane from Berlin to the USA. Well, it turns out that they're so tired and they both go to sleep on the plane, and when they wake up, when Jodie Foster wakes up, her daughter's gone. She looks around the whole plane. Nobody's seen her daughter. She goes to the flight crew. They don't even have record of her daughter being on the flight. She's not on the manifest, and even the seat count showed that there was nobody in her daughter's seat. But, wait a minute. Jodie Foster knows she has a daughter, so they spend the next hour looking for her daughter on the plane. And that's about as exciting as you can imagine it. You know, she opens up a bathroom door. Her daughter's not in there. She opens up the luggage compartments on the top. She's not there. It's kind of like when you see kids looking for stuff and they don't want to, so they just do stuff to kill time. Like, you know, like maybe they're missing their bike, so they're looking under pieces of paper on the table. It eventually gets that stupid and granular, like somehow the daughter was hidden inside one of the barf bags under the seat. So she looks and looks and looks, and they basically convince her that she's crazy. But as the trailer even shows you, she ends up seeing a heart that her daughter drew on the window with her breath vapor and finger, and she's convinced that she's not crazy. And that's the main flaw of the movie, is that right away you know that Jodie Foster's not crazy when that happens. You see hard evidence that her daughter existed, and you saw her come with the daughter on the plane. So the whole last hour of the movie is just you waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting for her to find her daughter. It's maddening. It's very tense. They're definitely trying to be very much like a Hitchcock movie in this. And I did not see Red Eye, but some of the critics I was sitting next to commented that this film needed to take lessons from Red Eye and was nowhere near as good. So take that for what you will. The audience response as it came out of the theater was very mixed. There was a woman with a clipboard who was taking people's opinions, and she agreed that it was pretty half and half. Some people liked it. There was a little bit of smattering of applause, but when you have a free movie screening, I find that audiences are a little bit more forgiving than when they actually had to pay good money that they earned to watch the film. I think this movie suffers from too many similarities. You've seen this movie before a lot of times already in different shapes and forms. If you've seen Red Eye earlier, you've already seen an airplane thriller that's still playing in the theaters now. So if you haven't seen either of these films, I think choosing Red Eye is your better option. I also got way too many deja vu moments from a very similar Jodie Foster film, Panic Room, that was directed by David Fincher, where she's hiding out in little crawl spaces in the house while there's robbers looking for her. There's a lot of scenes like that in this film. And yes, in Panic Room, she was hiding out with her daughter as well. So, you know, there's so many of these movies, the where the hell is my daughter genre. I'm not leaving without my kid, you know, any Sally Field movie of the week kind of a thing. Just not a lot of the, you know, Jodie does what she can with this role. She has that real intense look about her, and she looks very worried through the whole film, but you're pulling for her, just so the movie could get over. You know, you don't want her to find her daughter, so that they could be reunited. You want her to find her daughter so you can go home and stop watching this movie. Ultimately, I give this movie 1.5 out of 4 stars, if you like that sort of rating system there. But I do not recommend it, and I even would questionably recommend renting it on video if you wanted to wait until that point. So ultimately, I say don't see this movie.
Wow, as I got home, I thought maybe was I being a little bit too harsh on that movie. So often when I think I'm being too harsh on a film, I'll start playing Mr. Do and see if it changes my mind. So I'm going to try playing a little bit of Mr. Do here and see if that makes a difference in my opinion. Nah, I think it still sucks. You know, as a kid, when G.I. Joe, the big ones, are really popular, there was another doll, and I still call them dolls. You know, a lot of guys will say they're not dolls, they're action figures. Well, yeah, they're dolls. You know, just admit it. Enjoy playing with dolls. Quit trying to masculine it all up and saying they're action figures. But anyway, there was a Big Jim instead of G.I. Joe that you could get, and I had a Big Jim that played basketball, and he had this, like, little plastic basketball, and if you pressed a button in his back, he'd throw the basketball. But there wasn't a lot of good play value to these Big Jim dolls. They were pretty much just like Ken dolls with a little bit more posable ability there. In fact, I got a Ken doll for Christmas from my aunt, and he had all this facial hair that you could put on him, like little beards and mustaches and stuff. But, like, the day I got it, I lost the stickers, so I never got to actually stick the beard and mustache on him. So I just gave it to my sister because I was so sad. But one of the variants of Big Jim they had was called Big Josh. And here's the audio from a commercial for Big Josh that had he had like a camping rig and a bunch of rugged man things that you could do with him, like fishing and hunting and farting, pissing standing up, and he didn't even wash his hands afterwards. So anyway, here's a commercial for Big Josh.
Big Josh with Talking Camp Stack.
Let's make camp here.
Yeah, unload the Big Jim sports camper gear. Big Josh says,
bring a boat and fishing gear.
And you know the dinner will soon be here. Big Josh says,
let's find some firewood.
Now this camp is looking like a good camp should. Big Josh with Talking Camp Pack is sold separately. Big Jim sports camper comes with fishing boat and gear from Mattel.
It kind of sounds like Hank Hill from King of the Hill there, doesn't it? If you listen to that again, check it out. It totally sounds like him. Here it comes.
Big Josh with Talking Camp Pack.
Let's make camp here.
Yeah, all the time. Jim sports camper comes with fishing boat and gear from Mattel.
Well, anyway, I think it sounds like him. I loved all the talking dolls from that time because they always had this, like, pull string. You had to pull the string out and then as the string went back into the box, it would turn some little recording tape in it and play it, and invariably it would become all warped up and it would talk too fast or too slow and break. And I remember in the early 80s they actually had some people that would fix those voice boxes for a living, and I thought that was a pretty fascinating career that you could fix talking dolls. But you know, as the 80s came into the 90s and the computer chip technology became more prevalent and cheap, the old ripcord talking doll effect just became a thing of the past. I always imagine there's some old guy who designed ripcord talking dolls just sitting in a cabin somewhere crying because he's no longer wanted in the world. And if you're out there, Joe Campbell, who invented the talking doll boxes with the ripcords, I'd like to thank you for all the great things you've done for the toy industry through the years. Yeah, you're a great man, and you deserve better treatment than you got. I got an email today from Dane Fagerholm. It says, "Hey Robert, I visit Retro Crush a lot to check for new updates, and I'm really enjoying your podcasts." Oh, that's so nice. They're funny, and you have a relaxed interview style. It's called being drunk. A great addition to your site. I was wondering if you could ever do an interview with Dee Wallace from E.T. I might be losing my mind, but I thought I saw her doing a commercial for Depends Undergarments. Did you see this commercial? Take care. Actually, I did see that commercial, and I don't think that was her. I think that was her sister, Susan Wallace, who looks just like her, and she's really been tarnishing Dee's name by doing these undergarment commercials. So, hey, please give your sister a break and stop humiliating the Wallace family name there, please. I got this other funny email today from Australia from a gentleman named Mike. And he says, "Hey, I stumbled onto the Sneeze website, which led me to yours, because you know the Sneeze is kind of a gateway website to Retro Crush, like when you start smoking pot and go to heroin." And he said that the ICP podcast is great. He's talking about, I think it was episode 13 or 14, maybe one of the episodes where we make read Insane Clown Posse hate mail. But he says, "I've been working in the record industry for 5 years." The front line, retail, so I guess, you know, working in a record store, and I have the most contact with certain fans. I have the stupidest dealings with a number of devoted fans, some of the most frustrating with Insane Clown Posse fans. Maybe you should ask people dealing with devoted crazy fans to vote for the worst fans to deal with. My top five would be Cher, Slipknot, Insane Clown Posse, Cliff Richard, and John Denver." Well, that just kind of blew my mind. I replied, "Hey, you got to tell me some insane John Denver fan stories." And he wrote back, "Well, quite simply, in America on video, you have the NTSC format, And in Australia and Europe, we have the PAL format. Now, if you don't know what that means, basically it's the number of lines on their television. The horizontal lines are different, so a videotape for one format won't really be viewable on a VCR from another country, or a television from another country, for that matter. So he writes, insane John Denver fans, a fan, bought a Wilderness concert in the NTSC format, and he can't watch it at home because he's got the PAL TV. So she brought it back in and complained. And she's so devoted, she doesn't want to exchange the video, but is willing to watch the entire video in the store without sound. And from that, decides to keep the video because it's still John Denver. That's a pretty wild story there. Not as wild as I thought it would be, but if you've got any wild John Denver stories, we'd love to hear them, especially about if it involves Crisco and a peacock feather. If you've got it, we'd like to hear it. Well, anyway, I'm in that rambling stage now where I'm not making much more sense. I'd like to leave you with another song by Nina Gordon, former singer of Veruca Salt, who gave you great songs like The Volcano Girls and The Seether. And if you go to her site at ninagordon.com, she's got a ton of songs that you can download for free. And some of them are some funny cover songs. She's apparently performed at a coffee shop from the sound of it. But here is a really unlikely cover that she did of Skid Row's 18 in Life. I hope you have a good day. And may all your days be Retro Crush days.
Ricky was a young boy. He had a heart of stone. Lived 9 to 5 and worked his fingers to the bone. Just barely out of school. Came from the edge of town. Fought like a switchblade so no one could take him down. And he had no money. Good at home, walked the streets a soldier, and he fought the world alone. And now it's 18 in life, you got it. 18 in life, you know your crime is time, and it's 18 in life to go. 18 in life, you got it.
May tomorrow be a perfect day. May you find love and laughter along the way. May God keep you in his tender care. Good night, everybody. Retro Crush.